Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Tehillim Kuf Tesvav, the 115th Psalm in the book of Tehillim. This is a very famous Mizmor. It is part of the Hallel series that we've been learning up till now. And this Mizmor has a lot of fascinating aspects to it. Let's start at the very beginning. In terms of overview and structure, we always look at our Tehillim in five steps. The first is structure, the next is themes, the next is events behind the Mizmor. Then the fourth is places until it appears, and finally a word or pasuk in the highlights. So let's take a look at the structure and overview. It is 18 psukim long and divided roughly into five stanzas. The stanzas run as follows. Pasuk 1 to 2, Aleph to Beis, is doing it for Hashem, that this is ultimately done for Hashem and not for ourselves. Lo lanu Hashem, lo lanu ki shimcha ten kavod. This is not about us. Stanza 2 runs from psukim gimel to ches, where Hashem is all able, Hashem is kol yachol, compared to all the other powers that are in this world, which don't really have any abilities. Then we move on to stanza 3, which is psukim tes to yud aleph, 9 to 11, where it talks about how Israel trusts in Hashem, all different departments of Israel trust in Hashem, Yisrael betach b'Hashem, Beis Aaron betach b'tchub Hashem, and Yireh Hashem b'tchub Hashem. Then we move into the next section, Yud Beis to Tezvov, where Hashem blesses Israel. Hashem is Zachoronu Yevorech. Yevorech es Beis Israel. Hashem blesses the house of Israel. And finally, in the last stanza, which is Tes Zion to Yud Ches, 16 to 18, where we bless Hashem, Va'anachnu Nevorech Ka Me'atove Adolam Halleluka. It is worthwhile noting that this Mizmor is seen as an extension of Kuf Yodalit of the previous Mizmor. This is true when we look at the manuscripts. So, for instance, in the Aleppo Codex and the Leningrad manuscript, which are two of the oldest extant manuscripts of the Tanakh, this is seen as one Mizmor with Kuf Yodalad, 114. It's also because it has no special beginning of itself. It jumps straight into Loilano, and thematically too, it also relates to this, as the Radak points out, that we say Loilano Hashem, Loilano Kilishimcha Tein Kavod. This is not for us; it's to give honor to your name. What's this? What is this that we're talking about? The Radak says it reflects back on the last Mizmor, which is Betzeis Yisrael Mimitzrayim Beis Yaakov Me'Amloes. It refers to the Exodus of Egypt. This whole process of extracting us from Egypt was not for us; it was for Him. It was so that we could be vehicles of expression of His glory. In terms of the themes of our Mizmor, there are a number of themes. Three main themes which are to be seen in this Mizmor is that, number one, Hashem is the only viable source of power in this world. Theme number two is all categories of Israel, all different denominations of Israel will praise Hashem. And number three is the role of humanity in blessing of Hashem. These are the three main themes which weave themselves into this Mizmor. In terms of just looking at the flow of this Mizmor, it actually seems like a flow of conversation. So which means to say that the beginning of each stanza reflects the ending of the previous stanza. So for instance, stanza 1 talks about Ayei Eloheihem, where are their gods? And we then refer to in stanza 2, Elokeinu Shebashamayim, our God is in heaven. We then talk about at the end of stanza 2, Kol Asher Boteach Bohem, talking about all the different deities that the pagan worshippers trust in. And then in stanza 3, we start off with the Yisrael B'tach B'Hashem. Who do we trust in? Hashem. At the end of stanza 3, we have Ezram U'maginam Hu. That is, Hashem is our stronghold and our trust. And at the beginning of stanza 4, Hashem Zecharanu Yivarech. Hashem, who we were mentioning, will remember us and will bless us. And finally, at the end of stanza 4, Oseh Shemaim V'aretz, Hashem is the maker of heavens and earth. And we say, Hashemaim, Shemaim LaHashem, the heavens are the heavens to Hashem. So there seems to be a flow from stanza to stanza, idea to idea, section to section. It is interesting that the last two psukim yield a very fascinating message which pulls together the entire Mizmor, and that is Yud Zayin to Yud Ches is Lo Hamesim Yehalelu Ka V'lo Kol Yordei Duma. The dead do not praise Hashem, nor those who go to the netherworld. V'anachnu nevorech ka me'atove adolam halleluka. But we will praise Hashem from now until eternity, and this is halleluka. Praise be Hashem. So what is the connection between these two ideas? That those in the netherworld do not praise Hashem, but we will. So the most basic level is that we are thankful to be alive. If we're not alive, we do not have the ability, we do not have the bodies to be able to articulate, to live praise. Therefore, Hashem, thank you for giving us the opportunity of being alive to express praise to you. However, it could also be to see us in contrast to other nations. At the beginning of the Mizmor, we talk about the other nations who trust in sticks and stones and all kinds of pagan idols, and they have no capacity to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're saying, Vanachnu, we will praise you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, if that's the case, therefore, that in contrast to that, what is Hamesim? That could be people who may be alive, but really they're actually living dead. They're not really living a full life because they have the wrong ideas. They're not utilizing their energy, their existence for any positive capacity. So therefore, that is contrasting them. If we take it to this level, says Rav Amos Chacham, that therefore we can actually suggest that what is that we're talking about over here is not alive or dead, but rather we're talking about Olam Haba and not Olam Haba. The Mesim, people who live in this world and transiently live their lives for purposes of serving forces that are not real, ultimately they're going to inherit Gehinnom, they're going to inherit a world which is not. Whereas those who praise Hashem, who take the opportunity of using every ounce of their energy in this world for channeling it towards divine service, for being a conduit and vehicle for the divine, ultimately those people, Nevarech Ka Me'atavi Adolam, will have eternity, which is the world to come. So that perhaps is the framework of understanding this Mizmor. There is a lot of poetic descriptions in this Mizmor, so just a few examples of poetry in this Mizmor, which is very profound. In the second stanza, we have six rounds of the same structure of Pelohem lo daberu, Einayim lohem v'lo yiru, Oznayim lohem v'lo yishmo, Af lohem v'lo yirichun. We talk about all the body parts that these idols have, but they don't. They have a mouth, but they don't speak. They have eyes, which they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. They have a nose, but they don't smell. They have hands, and they don't feel. And they have feet, but they don't walk. So that's sort of the same poetic structure over here. Stanzas 3 and 4 have the same three groupings of Yisrael, Beis Aaron, and Yirei Hashem. In the first section, it's Betach, and it's about how they trust. In the second section, it is how Hashem will bless them. Each of those three groups. In terms of parallelisms, there is Hashem Yizacharanu Yivarech, which means Yivarech Esbeis Yisrael. So we have this parallelism. Hashem Zarchar and Yivarech Esbeis Yisrael. Again, Yosef Hashem Aleichem Va'al Beneichem. Those aren't repetitions. Those are poetic structures called parallelisms. There's also like a milim manchot, which means to say repeated words. The word asa, to create, is a word which is very fascinating and weaves itself many, many times throughout this Mizmor. Also, in terms of the same bookends, it starts off with describing Lolanu. It's not for us, but it's for your honor, and we end off with Anachnu Nevarech Ka. We're going to praise you, Hashem. So it seems to be this general structure, which is extremely poetic, very song-like descriptions over here. It is also worthwhile noting that, as pointed out beforehand, this is seen as a continuation of Mizmorim Kuf Yud Gimel, Kuf Yud Dalet, and Kuf Tes Vav. It's one unit of the first section of Hallel, which is really about Hashem as the creator of the world, the chosenness of Israel, the Yichud Hashem, the unity of Hashem, and Hashem caring for the lowly, which all weave their way through all of these three of Mizmorim. In terms of the events behind this Mizmor, the Da'at Mikra suggests that this Mizmor was actually said as accompanying a Korban, and certainly could be the Korban Pesach, and it is seen as that way because we say Hashem Zacharanu Yivarech, that Hashem, you know, when we mention you, please bless us, have us in mind, all the different categories of Israel. What this essentially is reflecting is the idea of when we bring the Korban, let the Korban be L'Ratzon. This is what it seems to be. Now, let's move into the next step. It could also be that as the Ibn Yechia suggests, one of the Pirushim on Tanakh, which is similar to what the Al-Sheikh says, this could be about the nation of Israel in exile. And we're saying, like Hashem, you took us out of Egypt, which was the previous Mizmor, please allow us to leave this ultimate Golos. The Rama Muskel, which is the Al-Sheikh's explanation, points out that's why it is. If you look at the first Pasuk, it is fascinating. He makes a very interesting diok, which is, Loilano Hashem, Loilano, Kilishimcha Tein Kavod. That it is not to us, Hashem, it is not to us. The repetition over there is not just poetic, but it is also omitting Hashem's name the second time round, which he indicates is a portent of the existence of Amalek in the world, of evil in the world. Where does Hashem's name, so to speak, get eclipsed, at least from the perspective of human beings, is when Amalek, when evil exists in the world. So, Lolano Hashem, don't do it for us, Hashem, when it was in the times of Egypt, Lolano, not to us, even in the times where your name doesn't seem apparent, when we need to exit this terrible Golos. That's what the Al-Sheikh suggests. In terms of the places in our Tefillah this appears, as with the previous Mizmor, the Yerushalmi quoting Baruch Kapra points out that this is a part of the unit of Halel HaGadol. That's what he called this, the Halel HaGadol. Whether it's called Halel HaGadol or not, it is certain part of our Halel prayer, although it's interesting that it is sometimes split up, which means to say on a Rosh Chodesh, what we call Chatzi Halel, half of Halel, we split this Mizmor down the middle. It's not because the Halel is half the size, but it's because two of the Mizmorim are cut in half. So Kuf Tezvav is cut in half, and only the second half is said regularly on a regular Rosh Chodesh, but on Yomim Tovim, on certain Yomim Tovim, we say the full Halal, including the first half of it. It is also worthwhile noticing that this was said along with the Korban Pesach, as the Mishnah in Pesachim Perek Hey Mishnah Zion points out. Another interesting aspect of how this appears in our Tefillah is the Gemara in Brachos quotes a very fascinating Memra of Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shmuel on Dav Lamed Hey Amud Aleph to Amud Beis, where he brings a stira, a contradiction between two psukim. He says that, you know, on the one hand it says La Hashem Ha'aretz Umloyah, Hashem owns the entire earth and everything that's in it. And in our Mizmor in Kuf Tezvav it says Hashemayim Shemayim La Hashem Va'aretz Nasan Livnei Adam. God owns the heavens and He gave to to humankind the earth. So which is it? Does Hashem control the earth? Do we control the earth? So he answers, he says, Kan koidem bracha, kan la'achar bracha. Before we've said a bracha on enjoying any aspect of this world, it belongs to Hashem. Once we said the bracha, it's almost like our access code which allows us to enjoy this product, and now we can enjoy it and eat it. Which means that without the bracha, ultimately it would be similar or akin to stealing. And that's what we learn from this Mizmor, is that Hashemayim Shemayim Lahar Hashem Va'aretz Nasan Livnei Adam, He gives us the earth only when we're willing to ask for it. That's what this Mizmor is teaching us. In terms of a pasuk in the spotlight, it is really fascinating to note that there is this triad which appears in our Mizmor twice, and we're going to see it elsewhere in Tehillim as well, which is the groupings of three denominations of Israel: Yisrael, Beis Aharon, and Yirei Hashem. All of Israel, the tribe of Aaron, the house of Aaron, and the Yirei Hashem, those who fear Hashem. These three denominations are hard to understand in terms of putting them together. We see it later on in Halel as well, as we'll get to soon. What is fascinating is how do we put these all together? So it is interesting that the first two make a lot of sense. We have all of Israel, and we have the priesthood tribe, the tribe which is supposed to be the messengers of the nation of Israel in the Beis HaMikdash, whether they're Shluchei Dodon or Shluchei Derachmona, whether they are the messengers of us to Hashem or the messengers of Hashem to us, as the Gemara in Nedarim discusses and disputes. But what is the Yirei Hashem? What is the third category which seems to be superimposed upon the previous two? The Baruch She'amar, this is Rav Baruch Epstein. The Torah Temima has a pirush on the Siddur called the Baruch She'amar, in which he says a very fascinating thing. He says that, quoting the Ibn Ezra, this refers to Chasidei Umos Ha'olam. This is the category of people who may not necessarily have been born into Israel, but they find God themselves. That's who it's referring to, Yirei Hashem. People are not part of the category of Israel or Beis Aharon. He quotes another explanation, which is cited in Rashi, who says that it refers to Geirim. Again, people coming from the outside who've made their own choice to come to fear of Hashem, even though they may not have had the opportunity of starting off in the first two categories of Yisrael and Beis Aharon, which is fascinating because in terms of the climax of it, the people who choose in and opt in, even though they weren't gifted that opportunity in the beginning, are placed climatically at the end, in a certain sense, at the climax, the apex of those people who serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which means to say that ultimately, this is as much as there are different sections of Klal Yisrael, there is also a meritocracy in terms of being able to opt in. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.